sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Friday afternoon, everybody. Great to have you with us. Hope you're enjoying your holiday weekend. Hope yesterday Thanksgiving was outstanding at your house or wherever you happened to be yesterday. I hope you had a great time, enjoyed all the football, including the Steelers and the Ravens last night. Today's show, by the way, being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. It's the holiday weekend. Need we say anything else? You need to go to Brewers Outlet, one stop for your beverages. Did I mention beer? And a great wide selection. Snacks, hot, fresh roasted peanuts, and, of course, the pickle bar, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And also, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We have quite a show coming up for you today. We're looking forward to bringing it to you, as a matter of fact. This is going to be fun. I'm going to start out with Josh Moyer from ESPN.com. Then we're going to follow up in the next half hour with Lem Barney, who was one of the true greats in the history of the NFL. Now, part of it's a little bit of a commercial for him at the same time, but there's a lot of stuff I wanted to get out of him. And we'll hear from Lem Barney. Then in the third half hour, Jack Ham is going to join us. And in the final half hour, John Bacon on the 73 Michigan-Ohio State game 40 years later that changed the landscape of the Big Ten forever. So we have a big show coming up for you today. Looking forward to it very, very much as we roll through this one on this Friday afternoon, the day after Thanksgiving, and just a couple days, by the way, until hunting season. Hopefully Black Friday was good to you if you decide to participate. First of all, Penn State and Wisconsin tomorrow at Camp Randall. Time now for Inside Penn State Athletics, featuring Mike Hall and Christian Hackenberg, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout.
Like a 2011 Ford Explorer Limited, only 12,000 miles, $34,999. 2010 Lincoln MKX, just one owner, $24,955. 2012 Kia Optima LX comes with a Carfax buyback guarantee, just $16,399. 2012 Hyundai Sonata, accident-free, fully serviced, just $13,796. And a like-new 2012 Ford Focus SE, lowest price promise, just $16,961. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Black Friday. But we hope you enjoy the show as you go through your shopping or whatever else you happen to be doing today. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And that is one-stop shopping right there. Beverages, did I mention beer? Fresh, hot roasted peanuts, snacks, a wide array, pickle bar, you name it, they have it. And by the way, what would be great this year is to put a bow in a vehicle. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. They, of course, sponsor the Sunbury Motors Studio. And time now to bring in Josh Moyer from ESPN.com. Josh, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Good to be here, Steve. Thanks again for having me.
Let's talk about the Ohio State situation first. They are in a precarious spot. They know they have to beat Michigan, then they have to beat Michigan State, which is 11 in the BCS right now. Is there anything they could have done in their non-conference schedule that could have changed the dynamics of this? I know they were set with a schedule, and you're not going to break the Cal thing because that's a return to Cal, so you're not going to break that. But could they have done anything else to get rid of a Florida A&M and get something more high-profile that could have helped them right now?
Well, it's funny. I mean, you said what could they have changed about the non-conference schedule, and honestly, right away my head went to scheduling some other teams. I mean, honestly, I'm not completely sure what their situation was, you know, how far in advance this was done, but I mean, it's clear that's what's hurting them the most. I mean, whenever you're playing the Florida A&M Rattlers, and again, I mean, I wonder how many Ohio State fans even knew Rattlers was their nickname. You know, that's just a joke. You may as well just only play 11 games. You know, that's clear what's hurting them. And I think going forward, you have to think, you know, where they're going to schedule games in the future, that they have to take that into account and schedule maybe an SEC team. You know, that's why they're not number two right now, I feel like. You know, it's just playing Buffalo, Cal. I mean, I guess their most difficult non-conference game was San Diego State. You know, the Aztecs aren't exactly a world beater.
Right, well, exactly. And I go back to 2008 when Penn State had Arkansas State on the schedule in the number two spot in the season. And Penn State bought out the contract and then brought in Oregon State for a one play because they wanted to up the RPI in the non-conference. They thought it would help them down the road. For whatever reason, it's maybe Ohio State tried that and there just were no takers. I mean, that could very well be a possibility. But you'd have to go into the season thinking you've got a shot. You've got to, you know, maybe you ought to be proactive about it.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I kind of like, you know, Penn State's current moves. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks they're going to go undefeated in 2 years, but at least they're scheduling the Pitt, you know, the West Virginias, the Syracuses, Central Florida, you know, teams that, you know, may not be great. They're certainly above average, and you'd like to see a team like Ohio State, which, you know, is clearly the best team in the Big Ten, to follow a similar path. I mean, you know, we're never going to see the SEC travel up to the Big Ten for a November, you know, snowy, you know, cold game, but, you know, it would be nice to see them meet on a neutral field in September, you know, so we'd be able to see Ohio State match their wits against someone besides Florida A&M.
Well, and, you know, you look at basketball. Basketball does a much better job of this. Now, they have more flexibility and many more games, so I understand that. But they have made for TV events. They have put together tournaments. You have a Big Ten ACC challenge. You have a Big East SEC challenge, whatever it happens to be. They at least go out and put some intrigue into the non-conference schedule somewhere, and college football, for whatever reason, seems to lack that imagination.
Well, in 9 out of 10 seasons, though, I mean, if you, in college basketball, you're competing for, what, one of 64, you know, 66 spots, you know, in the playoffs. In football, you're competing for one of two spots.
Right.
You know, you get one loss, you know, your season's over. I mean, really, a triple overtime loss to Alabama, you know, it seems is worse than, you know, beating an FCS team by a touchdown. You know, obviously, it's a lot harder to lose to Alabama, but you're penalized more for a loss. So, I mean, you know, right now we're giving Ohio State grief for their non-conference schedule, and they deserve that, rightfully so. But if Florida State or Alabama has slipped up once, you know, during the season, you know, right now we'd be talking about, you know, how smart it was for them to schedule, you know, four cupcakes, you know, to kind of play devil's advocate a little bit, because they would be number two right now. You know, they didn't challenge themselves, and, you know, you kind of take a risk with that easy non-conference schedule. But I definitely see what you're saying with college basketball, but I think it's kind of comparing apples and oranges a little bit.
No, I think you make a really good point. I do. I look at it and I say to myself, you know, I mean, you have to risk something at some point. Ohio State decided to go with a no-risk non-conference schedule. So guess what? You get no reward.
Yeah, and it's terrible football. I mean, it's something no one wants to see. And, you know, the Big Ten going forward, you know, you won't be, you know, able to schedule those FCS opponents. So, you know, hopefully we'll see, you know, the level of competition rise a little bit. But it really, it's something that only helps you if someone else flips up. You know, you're basically not controlling, you know, your own destiny anymore when you schedule games like this. And I think, you know, the Buckeyes are kind of learning that the hard way.
Yeah, they've got Michigan this week, and Michigan's going to be a lot tougher at Michigan State, and they've proven that already to begin with. But then they've got Michigan State after that. Wisconsin comes in, they're 15 in the BCS. 14's the cutoff. But let's face it, if Wisconsin were to win, they would probably get themselves into the top 14. Tom Deanhart, I talked to him this morning, Josh. He has them projected to the Orange Bowl to play Clemson. When you look at Wisconsin, what impresses you about them?
First thing that jumps into your head is the rushing attack. And,
yeah.
And that's not just James White and Melvin Gordon, but it's the entire offensive line that has really gotten them a great push this year. Just for fun, I decided, because this is a heavy line, Steve. I mean, on average, they're 321 pounds apiece. Compare that to the Green Bay Packers. The Badgers are 8 pounds heavier per lineman than the Green Bay Packers. I mean, that's how big they are.
Wow.
You know, it's insane. And, they're number eight right now in the country in rushing. They're almost getting 300 yards a pop. And to top that all off, they have their own, Allen Robinson light, if you will, and, Jared Aberdare. So, they have this, this great offense, I feel like. I mean, the passing offense could certainly be better, but they have multiple guys that are able to handle that rushing attack. And combine that with a good defense, and I mean, they're really a complete team. If it wasn't for that, miscue, that official miscue, the referee miscue against Arizona State, this would probably be a top 10 team right now.
Penn State essentially played 45 scholarship guys when they played Nebraska. That's about the number right in that neighborhood. And it's about the way it's been the entire season. Some people think that, in theory, this could be the bottom-out area for Penn State. I mean, to go 14-9 over 2 years in an alleged what might be, we'll find out later whether it is or not, and what's supposed to be the bottom-out time, what does that tell you about Bill, his staff, and the players?
Well, I think it's a good sign. I mean, certainly. I don't think Penn State's underachieved this year. Let me put it that way. I think expectations were much too high to begin with. And I said that from the beginning. I thought, 6-6, 7-5. And because, you have a true freshman quarterback, you have a defense that's hurting, you have, a reputation, for linebacker you that Mike Hull said, that is paramount to the defense. The linebackers drive this defense. And this is probably the weakest core of linebackers Penn State's had in, maybe nine seasons. You mix that all together. I mean, I think, Penn State right now, obviously, they are on a downtime. And I think next year it might be worse because you have so many, important players leaving. But when O'Brien's recruits, slowly come along, the scholarships are being restored, I think we're seeing a glimpse of greatness for the future that I would think by the 2015 season, this team's going to be ready to, make those bowl games and, compete with the Wisconsins and, Michigan States of the Big Ten. I mean, I don't think it's going to come overnight. I don't think it might even come next year, but I think we're seeing a bottoming out now, but, I think they're going to climb back up.
Yeah, because the door is open to anywhere between, and I talked about this, I talked about this 2 weeks ago. People asked me, what are the numbers? We know they can bring in 20, and depending on the number of early entrance they have, that number could potentially climb to 24. That kind of reinforcement, what can that mean moving forward to finally get this boost to get this thing up to 75 again?
Well, for one, it'll certainly improve the special teams because you won't have to rely on 18-year-old kids who were going to be playing at Lock Haven or Shippensburg had Penn State not kind of scooped them up. And don't get me wrong, Penn State's done a great job of trying to, unearth, that walk-on talent, Greg right. Garrity, Vaughn Walker, just to name two of those guys. But, going ahead, they'll be able to have, more special teams guys. And, to have that depth, is so important. I mean, John Butler, last year was exasperated about how few defensive backs they had, and he couldn't understand how the previous staff could let the DBs, dwindle so much. So, they're slowly building everything back up, and with more depth, really comes, Penn State's ability to, be able to miss on a recruit. Penn State, has guys like Casey Gaines and Anthony Smith and Parker Cothran who might not contribute for 3 years, and you need a stopgap there. You need guys who are able to play sooner, and that kind of gives Penn State a better opportunity. I mean, depth is everything.
Josh, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. We have to hit the bottom of the hour here. And news here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Thanks to Josh Moyer from ESPN.com. And on this Friday, as always, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Ah, beverages. I mentioned beer, fresh hot roasted peanuts, snacks, and the pickle bar, all at Brewers Outlet. Stock up for the holiday weekend with Brewers Outlet. News coming up next here at the bottom of the hour. And then in the next half hour, Hall of Famer Lem Barney on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Oh, it is a four-day weekend. Actually, a five-day weekend because the first day of deer season's on Monday. Five-day weekend. And Pennsylvania knows how to do this thing right. I mean, really. I mean, I grew up in Connecticut. Yeah, we had a four-day weekend. Here, I move out here, boom, five-day weekend, deer season. I think this is really cool. Now, in radio, we have to work all these days, but let's face it. I have the candy store jobs, and I get it. Tomorrow, I will be in Madison for Penn State and Wisconsin, 3:30 the kick, 2 o'clock the airtime. Coming up later this evening, Penn State St. John's from Barclays in Brooklyn. The other half of the bracket is Ole Miss against Georgia Tech, so big sports weekend. Ah, you have to stock up. If they're going to give you a five-day weekend, you need to stock up. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. By the way, some great gifts, by the way. You know, there's nothing like going in, getting a case, and putting a bow on it and telling a friend, here you go. Okay? I don't care whether it's soda, beer, great selection of domestics. I mean, they have the widest selection. Also, snacks galore. Perfect for this holiday weekend. You know, sit down and watch Penn State, Wisconsin tomorrow, Michigan, Ohio State, Auburn, Alabama. Make sure you're stocked up with beverages, snacks, the pickle bar, which Kevin and Bob cherish, and I think at moments bow to, and also fresh hot roasted peanuts, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Today, we also cherish our great friends at Sunbury Motors, and they have some great deals right now. Sunbury Motors sponsored this studio from day one. They've been with us all 2 years now as we're getting close now to heading into our third year of doing this show. And we can't thank them enough. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And happy holidays to that great staff over there. Cannot say enough about everything that they do. All right, Lem Barney. I want to warn everybody just ahead of time. In order to get Lem on, there's a little promotional deal that he and I will do here in a few moments at the front and the back end of this interview, just so you know. But it was all part of getting a Hall of Famer on the show, and we were thrilled to have him on. By the way, he's from Southfield, Michigan, home of Allen Robinson. How about that? But Lem Barney joins. Lem, happy holidays to you. And by the way, what is it about 20 and the Detroit Lions? Billy Sims, Barry Sanders, and you. They finally retired the dang thing. Lem, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Steve, thank you so very much. I know you asked the question, what's so special about 20? Well, it's special because it's a lot of leftover prayers in that jersey. I tell you, a fat man could have played in that jersey and played well, and there was a lot of leftover prayers in that jersey, brother.
You're darn right there are. I mean, Sims, Sanders, and Barney. I mean, there's not a team that had a better run of 20s than that one did.
Absolutely, man. I tell you, it was a great number. Great number.
Let's get into, first of all, some of the what you're doing right now, and that's the Rudolph Foods and the Southern Recipe pork rind, so forth. Pork rind Appreciation Day coming up. That's what you're doing right now. Tell us a little bit about this venture.
Certainly, Steve. Well, Rudolph Food's commitment to excellence has been passed down from generations to generations for more than 57 years, and Southern Recipes, which is a Rudolph Food Company brand, offers high-quality, low-cost pork products and a variety of flavors for the most discriminating appetites. Rudolph Foods Company has a variety of brands that include Southern Recipes, Lee's Pork Skins, and Rudolph Foods. They make snacks that include pork rinds, cracklings, and pork sticks. They have flavored pork rinds that include salt and vinegar, sweet barbecue, and hot and spicy. In the year of 1955, Mr. John Rudolph learned of an untapped market of pork rinds, and the Ohio State entrepreneur quickly launched his own company, producing pork rinds from spoken bacon rinds.
Wow. Now, we're going to talk about one of your favorites a little bit later, but I want to ask you now just a few football questions, which obviously you expected. So here we go. Number one, playing on Thanksgiving week was always a short week, and a lot of times it was the Packers, but you'd play in that short week. What was it like for the city to get ready, and then eventually, of course, it was in Pontiac, but what was it like, you know, in the city getting ready for the game like this? And for a player, what was it like having a short week? They have to do it a lot now because of the Thursday night football game, but what was it like for you back then?
Well, it was really tough back there, like it is for the players today. As you mentioned, we had to play two games in a span of 10 days, and according to it, to how you worked out, how you played the Sunday game before going into the Thursday game, I mean, it was all adrenaline, and it was quick preparation. You had about 3 days to prepare for a four-day game after that Sunday. You played again on Thursday for Thanksgiving, but it was good because you got at least 4 days of rest after the Thanksgiving days. But it was pretty tough, particularly on the body, and the Lions have done it for a lot of years, not only from the Silver Dome, but I played my first seven years Thanksgiving at Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, outdoors. I'm sure the turf was great, too.
It was grass, natural. And then when you moved into the Silver Dome, and, well, it all started, that turf started down in Houston, the Houston Astrodome, and that's what started because of the cost it takes to keep the upkeep of the grass and everything going. It's more expensive than the turf that you put down, that you got it for at least the duration of 3 years. But, again, it's tough. It's a tough situation, but it's a cleaner game, and that's what the league was looking for.
You also grew up at a time where, let's face it, you would have been a marvelous SEC talent, but the door wasn't open in the SEC at the time. You ended up at Jackson State. What was the Jackson State experience like?
Jackson State experience for me was tremendous. I grew up in Gulfport, Mississippi, born and trained right there, right on the water, about less than a quarter of a mile from the Gulf Coast. And it was great. I played at 33rd Avenue High School in Gulfport, Mississippi. My mom didn't really want me to play football at all. Basketball, baseball, running track was okay, but she really didn't want me to play football. But the coach came by and guaranteed her that I don't know how he sold it to her. He said, I guarantee your son is not going to get hurt. He's got great feet. He's got great speed. But I played in the band. My mom didn't want me to play at all, athletics, not football particularly. I sang in the choir and played drums in the marching band, and I played a set of drums with a group called the Stardales, and loved singing, and I love music, and I love athletics, and was blessed to have played it for a little over 21 years and came out of it okay, and so things have worked well for me.
In fact, Marvin Gaye tried out for the Detroit Lions, and you ended up befriending him, right?
Yes, he did. I mean, it was a joy to have come up to Detroit because, I mean, Motown was the hottest musical state in the whole country at that time, with Mr. Berry Gordy, founder of Motown, Smokey Robinson, The Temptation, The Marvelettes, The Supremes, and Stevie Wonder and the like. And I had a real fetish and a fondness for Marvin Gaye. And after my first year, I went by Marvin's house. They told me where he lived, and I stopped by, and I mean, it was just a joy to meet this guy, and he was all impressed. And he said, why don't you come by sometime, man, and I could show you some of my music. And I would go by. Mel Farr and I, who sang background with him on the What's Going On album, would go by and visit him from time to time. And during the off season, he would want to work out with us, so he started working out with us. And after we sang background with him on what's going on, he got a gold record. He wanted to sing. He wanted to play football. He felt that since we came on and got a gold record for singing with background with him, he could certainly play football. So he worked out up at Michigan State for about 2 months with the team, and he started going on Shirley Eater, Johnny Carson. He was telling people he was going to try out with the Detroit Lions. And so Coach Joe Schmidt at the time called Mel Faradine in and said, "What's this about Marvin talking about playing football?" I said, "Coach, we keep trying to tell him he's got to get a clearance to come in and play football. He can't just walk on and play." He thought walk on means you can just try out, just you don't have to do any type of training or anything. But Coach gave him a little tryout in a camp we had up in Pontiac for about 5 days. Tried him out at wide receiver and running back. He did pretty good, but he just didn't have the skills because he had never played athletics, particularly football, at all. But he gave it a shot, and he enjoyed the tryout for the 3 week that Coach Schmidt gave him up in Flint, Michigan.
You watch today's game. What do you think now? My broadcast partner for Penn State football is also one of your contemporaries, is Jack Ham.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, he and I week after week after week do games, and we see how it's played now and the rules they've put in. You played back then. Now you see how it's played. What are your thoughts on how the game is played today and some of the rules they have put in today?
Well, I think the rules today that they've put in, particularly, it's for the side. The guys are bigger, stronger, faster, quicker, and in a lot of cases a bit more intelligent than the guys of yesteryear because of the way you can study the game today. We used to have to watch those 16-millimeter film, the reel-to-reels. You'd have to watch it from the first play all the way through, but today they have those CD-ROMs that they can give you with a four-game breakdown on it. If I'm playing you this upcoming Sunday, we've got the NFL rights to have your last five ball games as well. You have our last five ball games. So they break down what you did on first and 10, second and short, third and short, third and long, midfield, short yardage, and goal line that was successful in your last five ball games. What are you going to do in the next ball game? The sixth ball game is what was successful. So it's broken down easily today. So you can get these CD-ROMs on the beginning of the week, and you can take them home, and you got the audio equipment to use it here at your house. You can watch it by yourself at night when you come home from practice at the stadium and the whole shot. So it's much more easier to understand and get a comprehension about the game. But it's a violent game today. Guys are bigger, stronger, faster, and quicker, as I mentioned on a lot of cases before. It's a real dangerous game today.
What about the helmet-to-helmet rules that they have now? Because a lot of these contact-to-contact rules are coming from corners, which was your spot, or safeties and so forth.
Well, it's tough now, and if you can get that helmet a little more padded, I don't know how they can put more pad in it or right. What the materials they can do to try to absorb some of the hits, because, again, with the speed of these guys today, with the size of the guys, I mean, you know, you look like Detroit Lions have this Dominic Sue. This kid is almost 300 pounds and runs like a 4.7 40. And when an immovable force meets an immovable object today, something's got to give, and normally it's going to be a body part. So I don't know how they're going to get that unless they get some helmet company to come up with something that's going to be a little more protective, because when those collisions happen, that brain cell, that medulla oblongata starts ringing, and many times it rings, it's going to bring chaos.
I'm going to mention a name, that a guy was a great defensive back in his own right. He went to the Pro Bowl many times, but I think people today would not know his name, Jim David. What did he mean to you?
Oh, he was such a great guy. I mean, I love the guy. He played the same position. He played the corner when I came into Detroit, and I remembered him from the Thanksgiving games. He always watched the Lions on Thanksgiving, him and Coach Joe Schmidt and Yale Larry and Bobby Lane, and he was my coach my first 7 years for the Detroit Lions. Just a great guy, and he meant so much to me. He was like a father. He was an adopted father when I got here, and everybody wanted me to get my coach from Jackson State, either Joe Schmidt, to introduce me at the Hall of Fame in 1992, but I said, no, it's going to be Coach Jimmy David, who I really had a lot of love and respect for, and that's who induced me into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
You went on to become an associate minister at a Methodist church in Southfield, Michigan. What steered you in that direction?
Well, I grew up Methodist in Gulfport, Mississippi. Went to Raleigh Chapel Methodist Church, church on Sunday mornings in Burdell and Lynn Barney's household was not an option. You were going to go to church if you slept at their house on Saturday night. So it was a joy. Vacation Bible School was another school that we had to do during the summer school's time, going to Vacation Bible Schools and prayed. We had family prayer, morning prayer, and evening prayer. And so church was a way of life for me. And once I got here to Detroit, I mean, even in college, I got involved in the FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And coming up to Detroit, a Jewish brother by the name of Dr. Ira Eshelman founded what's still today in 1967, the NFL chaplaincy program, where they would have guys on Sundays who couldn't go to regular church. They would have ministers to come to the hotels or to the sites where the guys were staying on Saturday night, and on Sunday morning they would have a chapel service. So Dr. Ira Eshelman sort of took this across the country to the NFL leagues, and everybody embraced it. And I was the chapel service leader for our Detroit Lions for the 9 years that we was involved in it. And so I got involved with my church at Spring Hill Missionary Baptist Church. They made me a lay minister, and from there I've been in the ministry now for 39 years. Yeah.
And I mentioned Southfield, Michigan, which is very important here at Penn State. Young man by the name of Allen Robinson, who's one of the top receivers in the country, is out of Southfield, Michigan. So.
Absolutely a great guy. What a great brother he is.
Yes. Okay, I want to ask you one more now about Rudolph Foods, the Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund, and then tell me a little bit about Team Smooth.
Yeah, well, you know, the Team Smooth, and well, first of all, we'll talk about the Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund. It's a mission to assist the retired NFL players who have need, who are pioneers of the game and who have greatly contributed to the National Football League status for the most popular sport in America. The funds provide hands-on assistance to help retired players and their families deal with medical hardships that they face after their career in football. The service includes medical assistance, transportation costs for medical evaluation and surgeries, housing assistance, financial assistance for utilities, medication, and coordination of services for food, automotive payments, and child care. What a deal that is.
It sure is. Okay, then Team Smooth, all right? And you got to tell us a little bit about that, because you and Dennis McKinnon are both involved in this.
Yes, we are. You know, it's celebrated on one of the biggest days of the year. And on Sunday, first Sunday in February, our Pork Rinds Appreciation Day has become an annual event to celebrate how pigskin and pigskins go together. And Rudolph Foods and Southern Recipe, they support Gridiron Greats Assistance Funds, the National Football League for players. And now, through Pork Rinds Appreciation Day, a portion of the sales of all Rudolph Food brand products will be donated to the organization's assistance funds, up to $15,000. And now, through January 5th at porkrindsday.com, fans can get involved by voting for Team Spicy or Team Smooth for the chance to win $1,500, all leading up to the big game in February. And they should enter daily to try and increase their odds of winning. Team Smooth is led by yours truly, Hall of Famer Lem Barney, who loves salt and vinegar, sweet barbecue, and original flavored pork rinds. Team Spicy is led by none other than Super Bowl champ Dennis McKinnon, who loves hot and spicy chili and lime pork rinds, as well as chicaroni. Customers can support Gridiron Greats Assistance Funds by buying pork rinds online at rudolphfood.com/. Finding Rudolph Foods at your local Walmart or Southern Recipes brand pork rinds at many of your local convenience stores.
Lem, it was an absolute privilege to you and yours. We wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Best of luck with this, and thank you so much for the valuable time you gave us today.
Steve, thank you so very much. And you know, we got so much to be thankful for, man. The Lord is truly good.
Lem Barney, Hall of Famer. Now, you mentioned Dennis McKinnon. It looks like next week we'll have Dennis McKinnon on the show, former Chicago Bear wideout, heck of a player, Super Bowl champ as well.
All right, that's hour one in the books. Our thanks to Josh Moyer of ESPN.com and also to Lem Barney, the Detroit Lions Hall of Famer. Next hour, Jack Ham, my broadcast partner for the past 14 seasons. I cannot begin to tell you what he has meant to my career, working with him. Same thing with Dick Girardi. There is nobody in this country, in my profession, that has it better than I do. And then I get to work 5 days a week with Kevin, you know, which means so much to me. Bobby, you know, I'm really lucky. Sarah, the people I'm surrounded by are unbelievable. Unbelievable. I just have to sit here every day, whether it's in this chair or those other chairs, and make sure I'm the one that doesn't mess up. I'm surrounded by great people. Yep, on Thanksgiving, on my long list, there's certainly all the names I just mentioned. They're there, and then some. Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Beverages, beer, great selection, snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, and the pickle bar, all that and more at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Stock up. It's the perfect weekend to do it, to kick back and enjoy. And, of course, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. They sponsor the Sunbury Motors Studio, a.k.a., as Jack Ham nicknamed it, the Chateau. We'll come back with Jack in the next half hour, and then final half hour to John Bacon as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.